Hey, Michael, what do you think about me introducing this episode as Dracula?
Sure. I mean, you can try if you want.
Welcome to Vetroidvania Mayhem.
Actually, please don't. Please don't do that.
Good day, Metroidvania maniacs. Is that what we decided to call everybody, Michael?
Did we decide to call him something?
I don't know. Someone said that, and I thought that sounded cool. Metroidvania maniacs. That sounds right. I don't
I
know.
like it.
Anyways, whoever you are listening, welcome to Metroidvania Mayhem, our podcast of Metroidvania games.
Woohoo!
Episode 3, right? Is that where we're at?
Yes, if you don't count zero as one.
No. I don't. I count it as zero.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So, how you been, Michael?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's been, we actually went over our normal schedule of 1 month. It's
Yeah.
normally what we've been trying to do. We slipped up a little bit and have gone longer. So it's been a while since I talked to you
Yeah, I know.
face to face,
Skype
Skype to Skype.
to Skype. And I have my Skype up on my second screen, which is away from my webcam. I told Michael it might look like I'm staring blankly at the wall, but I'm actually looking at his video right now, so
Yeah.
who knows?
Freaking me out just a little bit.
Exactly. But yeah, so thanks for listening. We're happy to be back. This is our Metroidvania game by game podcast, as you might call it, just to rip off every other show we're in. But we appreciate all the interaction, all the groups and everything. But Michael, did you want to go into wait, what are we doing right now? Announcements?
Yeah, if you do we have any announcements?
I'll tell you, there is one announcement. We now have an official website for the Retro Junkies Network. I think it's at the point now where I don't mind advertising it as such. It is www.theretrojunkies.com. You can find our podcast links on there. You can find many, many other podcasts, videos and whatnot from our Retro Junkies network. So go check that out, www.theretrojunkies.com. So yeah, check that out if you get a chance. But yeah,
That's good.
that's good. Yeah.
Nick put it together, and I must commend him. It's looks nice.
Well, thank you, sir. I haven't designed a website from the ground up in a while, so that was kind of fun, actually. It's one of those things where you're out of practice and you kind of learn the things you didn't realize you forgot. So it was quite the learning experience. But now that it's set up, the interface is there, it's really easy to update. So anytime we have anything new come to our network, it'll be there pretty quickly, as long as I'm motivated and not lazy to do that. So yeah,
Nice.
we got that going. As far as where you can find us at, we are on Facebook. We have a Facebook page and a Facebook group. Just type in Metroidvania Mayhem in Facebook. It's probably the easiest way to find us. Sometimes that's easier than just typing the whole link out, so definitely do that. All the other things, Michael, you go right for that because I never can remember.
I think it's just iTunes and Stitcher and Twitter, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably some Twitter in there somewhere.
Yeah. You can, hey, there's your train again.
Yeah.
It's the Metroidvania Mayhem train.
Right. It likes to, I always have a train bring in my podcasts.
I live by a private airport, but you usually don't hear those planes coming through very often. So.
Hey, we need a third person who lives by like a car lot, and then we'd be the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles podcast.
That would be awesome. But anyways, yes, yeah, so you can find us in all those places, iTunes, Stitcher. Are we on a Google, whatever that's called?
Yeah, Google Plus. We're I
Google Plus.
well, I don't want to. Yeah, I'll say yes, but I don't want
Okay.
to. I'm not going to put any money on it.
Yeah, but our website, MetroidvaniaMayhem.com, go there, click all the links, you'll find us somewhere. To whatever your liking is, I'm sure we're there, so definitely check that out.
Speaking of iTunes, Nick,
Ooh.
we have a contest right now, don't we?
I believe so. I believe so. I think I saw a total of 21 iTunes reviews
Yes, so
as
that
of today.
means people, and I think one of those might be mine.
Oh.
So,
Cheater. Cheaters. That was easy. I did the same thing.
okay, so people have basically a 1 in 10 chance to win a game here.
That's right.
And I originally was going to put all the names in the hat, and I apologize for not doing that. So instead, I'm going to flick my mouse wheel and point, and we'll see who it lands on in no particular order. Some of these people also said they didn't want the game, so you actually have a really good chance of winning because some of these people may have already have it. So some people I know. And but real quick, before we give away the prize, I think we need to call out a certain hoser for giving us a 3-star review
What?
instead of a 5-star review.
Do we have a 3-star?
Yeah, it's from a certain Rob 2586.
Oh, wow. What's up with that, Rob?
Yeah, I'm assuming that's I only know one Rob.
Yeah.
Well, that would probably have written a review for the Metroidvania Mayhem podcast.
He's getting a text right now.
And it's a 3-star.
I don't care if he's sleeping or hanging out with his wife. He's getting a text of a screenshot right now. Wow. Even so, it's like a good review, but just not very many stars.
Yeah, I'm assuming it was a mistake, but he's probably the reason that we're so low in the rankings.
Oh, thanks, Rob.
So he does not get the game, no matter what.
I think he's just missing the Genesis gems. He's wanting to come back to that, and all that
Okay.
stuff. So
Yeah, you guys shouldn't have kicked him off.
I don't know. He's making a comeback. He says so. Well, we're working that date out.
Okay.
So
All right, so I'm going to give away one of these games here.
let's do
All
that.
right.
Let's do that.
So close my eyes, scroll the wheel. Is Crazy Man Alec.
Ooh, I like that name.
Yeah.
Do you know have any clue who that is?
I don't know who it is, so hopefully he's listening and will.
I'm hoping it's Alec Baldwin. Just kind of put
It
that out there, because
could be.
there's some Baldwins in this video game we're talking about today. Alec Baldwin,
Oh,
famous guy.
wow. That just makes a whole lot more sense now all of a sudden.
Yeah, and didn't Alec Baldwin get in trouble for playing video games on a plane? I mean, maybe he was playing Castlevania. I'm pretty sure it was Words with Friends, but
Yeah,
yeah,
maybe.
one of those Baldwins got in trouble.
I'm gonna read his review. I know we don't normally read them on this podcast, but because he's winning a prize, I feel like we should read his review. Also, I think he came from listening to Genesis Gems because he says, "A real gem.
Oh, nice.
This podcast is great. These two guys know exactly what they're talking about, and I'm so happy to have an entire podcast focused on Metroidvania, my favorite genre of games. I've been fiending for some new games to play that aren't Symphony of the Night, Super Metroid, or Cave Story, and this podcast is going to be awesome for that. I can't wait to see where they end up from these early days. So, Crazy Man Alec, you're fiending for more games. How about Guacamelee?"
I think he's going to have a good time fiending for that. I'm
So
not even really sure what that means.
it means he's like really he wants to know some games. Like he's fiending, he desires
Okay.
that those
At first I thought it was a typo, then I thought, no, that's just my limited grammar knowledge.
Yeah, it means like he really wants us to tell him some games that he can play.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, Crazy Man Alec, if you want that game, email me, Michael at MetroidvaniaMayhem.com. And I will get that to you. All right, we got one more to give away. Close my eyes, do the scrolly thingy. And Super Tim 82. I believe that is Tim from the Comic Nerds Unite podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So, regardless, Tim, if you want that game, email me, Michael at MetroidvaniaMayhem.com, and I'll read his review real quick as well. So much XPs. I guess he means experience. These dudes really know what they're talking about. Retro gaming is on quite an uptick right now, and these guys were in on the ground up. Cool subgenre of retro gaming to focus on. I subscribed immediately as I know these guys will do quality work. So thank you, Super Tim 82. Email me to get your game. All
Nice.
right.
Very nice reviews. I like that.
Yeah, except for that hoser review.
Yeah, even though he said nice words, he couldn't click that button to get 5 stars. He just
You
probably just.
know, actions speak louder than words.
That's true. That is true. Rob. Awesome stuff. All right.
Right.
So I think this is the next segment. It's all you, my man.
What is that? The world of Metroidvania?
Yes, sir.
Like we talked about last week, I split it up into three categories. So we're going to start with the new releases. These are games that have released since last time we talked, or at least that have released, and I have noticed them being released. The first one is Elliot Quest, and that I believe has released for pretty much everything. I know it's on Wii U and Steam, and those are the only two systems that I really play. So I haven't got a chance to play it yet, but it's a 8-bit looking game where you kind of look, it kind of looks like you're playing as Kid Icarus, but it's like Greek-ish, but it looks pretty cool. I think it's I haven't heard any negative reviews about it, but I haven't heard anybody just absolutely glowing about it either. I think it looks pretty cool. And the next, I'm going to save the most popular one for last. Next, okay. I'm going to skip our list here. The next one is Ori and the Blind Forest. Now, this game is just, it looks really cool. Like the art style is really cool. It's kind of like a, it's a really dark game, but there's a lot of neons that kind of stick out in it. And I think it looks really cool. Like the character just really glows and sticks out from the backgrounds. But the backgrounds in this game is what just blows me away. There's just a ton of depth in the backgrounds. And this one is getting just crazy good reviews. I haven't played this one either, unfortunately. But I know it's out for Steam, and it's probably out for a bunch of other stuff too. But it's called Ori and the Blind Forest. O-R-I, Ori. It looks like it's got some really crazy platforming segments and stuff. It kind of reminds me of Guacamelee in a way, just the way the character runs and jumps and flips around.
Yeah. Well, and the main character kind of reminds me of a glowing version of that guy from Lilo and Stitch, I think it was a Disney
Yeah,
movie.
It kind of looks like Stitch a little
Stitch,
bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks pretty sweet.
But anyways, it does look pretty sweet. And then, of course, this one most people probably already know, but Axiom Verge released, actually, as of this recording, just a couple days ago, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, we've talked about it a couple times on the show before, so I won't keep, you know, going into it, but it's supposedly, like, the Metroidvania game to play and have right now, so that is finally out, and it's only out on PS4, to my knowledge. Do you know if it's out on anything else?
That was the original release. I think it's going to be coming to, you know, Steam, maybe the Vita, things like that. Yeah, it's right now it's just on the PS4.
Okay, cool. That's all I have on new releases. You got anything you heard of?
Nah, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and reading a lot of reviews on Axiom Verge. It's doing as well as expected. There's a few little gripes here and there, but hopefully we can cover that one day when it comes to a system I own.
Yeah, same here. If it stays on PS4, then I would never own one of those, but we'll see. All right, so new games on the horizon. These are games that I have just kind of stumbled across, hearing about them, you know, on the horizon, about to come out. The first one is called Slain, and it was a Kickstarter game, and it got funded. It's already been funded, but it has and this one will probably be intriguing to you because it's got a very Castlevania look to it.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to be similar to a Castlevania type game.
Yeah,
but it looks pretty cool.
This was really gory, right? I think when I saw it.
Yeah, it is. It does look really gory too. So it's kind of like, it almost also looks a little bit like a, do you remember the game? I think it was on Super Nintendo, started Blackthorn or something like that.
Yeah.
It kind of also has that look to it a little bit.
Yeah, I like that game.
Yeah. All right. And then we also have a game called Infernax. Now, I'm not sure where I saw this one, but it's a 8-bit horror action RPG is what they call it. But we all know action RPG more than likely means Metroidvania. So, but it looks pretty cool. It's kind of got a Castlevania look to it as well, but you kind of play like a paladin looking guy, and it's really bright and colorful. But it isn't an 8-bit style, but it maintains this horror look to it while also being just really, is it like lots of vibrant colors. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Shovel Knight, but maybe not as polished in the way it looks. But that's Infernax.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I don't think I've heard of that one. So that sounds, I'm intrigued now. I'm going to have to go check that out.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it was backed as well. It was a Kickstarter, and
Okay.
I think it re I think it did reach its goal as well.
Yeah.
Yep. In Canadian dollars. So it must be a Canadian developer.
That just equals Tim Horton Donuts, right?
Hey, or it equals Guacamelee. I
Yeah,
mean,
that's
that
true.
was Canadian.
That's true.
All right, and the last one that I noticed was called Night Force. And this one is still in development. So this one's not, it's not, I don't even think it's kickstarted yet or anything. But it's I hate to keep saying it looks like a Castlevania game or an 8-bit, but I mean they do. They're all kind of following this same style, but it's very fluid looking just in the early stages. So it looks to be pretty exciting. I think it actually has a demo out too that you can try. If you go, well, I don't know what the link is, so I'm not going to say it, but I think you may be able to find a demo for it to tinker around, try it out. It's called
Yeah.
Night Force, like Knights of the Round Table Knight.
Okay.
And then lastly, major announcements in the world of Metroidvania. I'm not 100% sure there are any that I know of. I don't know of any re-releases or anything like that have been announced. So I don't think there are any other major announcements.
Nah, and if today were actually April 1st instead of April 2nd, I could have said, Konami's making another Castlevania handheld game and no one would have believed me, so it'd have been an April Fool's joke, because I don't see
Yep.
that happening for a long time. I
No, bro.
want it to happen. But
I mean, they made those 3D ones that were not
no.
Metroidvanias.
A lot of people like that. I think it was just my disappointment of what the genre was. And I played it for a little bit and got upset and stopped playing it. But
Yeah.
yeah, anyways.
So that's pretty much it for the world of Metroidvania.
Well, good. I think it's good. These Metroidvania games are really starting to take off, I think. I think Axie Verge is gonna really boost this genre up a bit, because all the reviews and all the podcasts I listened to said the word Metroidvania, and they're starting to talk more about those games. So
Yeah, so maybe we're getting in on the front end of a bunch more, and then people are going to want to listen to our podcast.
I hope so, and line up some of these interviews with these developers, and maybe really get our names out there. So.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I did see where, speaking of developers, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, the Castlevania guy, Koji or something like that.
Yeah.
He actually did an interview where he offered up a bunch of suggestions for people who are making all these Metroidvanias now. It was a pretty cool interview.
Yeah, you posted that to the Facebook
I did.
page.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
did. I posted it to the Facebook
Yeah.
page and the Facebook group.
Yeah,
So
that.
if you want to check that out, listener, you can go on our Facebook group. It
Yeah.
should be posted there.
That was cool. All right. So, are we ready just to jump into the game?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's do this. Castlevania Circle of the Moon. This game was a launch title for the Game Boy Advance. And these were the days I kind of wish, random topic, that they kept calling the Game Boys the Game Boys. So I just like the fact that it was Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance. It just kind of followed that timeline there. But this was a launch game, and it was definitely my favorite launch game. There wasn't a whole lot to me other than the Mario game that came out, but we'll get into the gripes of why a lot of people hated this launch game later. But anyways, this game did come out at that time. It was kind of following the suit of Symphony of the Night. Everyone knew how popular that game was and how that kind of followed the suit of Super Metroid. So it kind of was a shock to me. I didn't expect another one of those games to come out, especially for a handheld. So it was definitely a surprise launch title when I picked up my Game Boy Advance. But
So, did you get your Game Boy Advance at launch?
no, actually, I got. Someone gave me one or sold it to me a couple years later, and I bought that. It came with that game, and I got so frustrated with the lack of brightness that I went out and bought a Game Boy Advance SP, because those had just came out, and that's how I started playing that. But
It's
yeah.
funny. I've always been for some reason on the Game Boys, I've always been a generation behind. So I had a Nintendo, right? An NES. And then the Game Boy came out a little bit later, but I never did pick it up until the Game Boy Color came out. And then I picked up a Game Boy. And then when the Game Boy Advance came out, I picked up the Game Boy Color. So for some reason on Game Boys, I've always, and I just, Well, I wasn't as far behind on the 3DS, but now the new 3DS came out. So if I would have waited about 6 months, I would have probably been still keeping up by buying a 3DS right before the new 3DS came out. And I don't do it on purpose. It just
Happens.
accidentally most of the time.
Yeah. It's funny because Nintendo is usually the only system that I usually keep pretty current on. I don't think there's a Nintendo system I never owned. Virtual Boy, that's the only, okay, I'll take that back. That's the only one I never owned. But I did. I had the big brick gray Game Boy, then I went to the Game Boy Pocket, then I had a Game Boy Color, then Game Boy Advance, then the SP. Did the whole thing. And I actually put down my Game Boy for a long time until Pokemon came out, which is a whole nother podcast, but yeah, but yes, yeah, as far as that goes, you know, it got great reception. I think it, I believe it came out in 2001, and IGN actually gave it a 9 out of 10. And really, one of the only gripes was the lack of brightness being present, because a lot of the dark backgrounds and stuff. But it got a fantastic reception when it first came out. So it was definitely a top game for the launch, and again, a real impressive game, because a lot of launches are just very, very weak. You have your Mario and this and that, but it's amazing how that game came out and actually did that well. But yeah, as far as background goes, that's really all I got. It wasn't actually developed by the original team. We posted that, I don't want to say original team, but the original guy of Castlevania that did Symphony of Night and stuff. We posted that Koji didn't really have a huge hand in this one, so it was a pleasant surprise in my eyes. But I don't know. Do you
Yeah, I'm
have
sure we'll get into that a little bit later
any?
too when we get into the question
Exactly.
about that. So, all right. So, are we talking about the game yet?
Yeah, I can go right into the story.
Yeah, let's go into the story. On Two Dudes, we read from the manual on occasion, but I don't have a manual for this game.
No,
So,
no, no. I don't either. I had
but
one.
you probably got an awesome story just in your head, don't you?
Something like that. I mean, it's a Castlevania game. They're usually the same. And you know, the first part of the story is usually just generic. You have someone trying to resurrect Dracula, and some crazy descendant or timeline of the Belmont or the Morris family is the ones trying to stop it. This game's kind of different. It was set in 1830. The main character is actually a dude named Nathan Graves, who was trained by Morris Baldwin, which I thought was so strange. I actually went up and tried to find a timeline of Morris Baldwin. I couldn't really find it, because usually the holders of the whip are usually last name of Belmont or Morris, and but in this case, the guy's first name was Morris, so it was a little strange to me. But it talked about how Morris Baldwin and Nathan Graves' parents were the ones that defeated Dracula last. So. And I guess Nathan Gray's parents died, so Morris kind of took him under and actually made him the wielder of the Hunter Whip, which was a different name than the Vampire Killer in this game, over his son Hugh. So the game starts out with the you know, those three guys actually talking to the girl trying to raise Dracula up, which is Camilla, I believe, or Camellia, however you want to say it. And all of a sudden, the floor breaks from underneath of them. Nathan and Hugh drop down. They separate, and that's kind of how the story starts.
That's quite the fall too.
Yeah.
Nobody broke any legs or twisted an ankle or anything.
Yeah, exactly. And you kind of wonder how in the world. But going back to when I first played this game, this was actually, and it's the reason I picked this game, this was the very first Metroidvania game I ever really, really dug into. So when I was watching that and watching that fall, and then just kind of not really being at a stage, but just getting thrown into this big map, really just impressed me. It really kind of caught my attention. I fiddled around with Metroid and Super Metroid when I was a kid. Something about them just intimidated me when I was that age. But I started playing this game when I was in high school. Yeah, 2000 when I was in high school. I remember actually playing it sitting in my graduation practice when I was a senior in high school. So I kind of joined the Metroidvania genre a little bit late in that sense, but it was just amazing getting right into that world. But anyways, as the story goes, you know, Nathan's going around killing all the bosses, getting new power-ups, get to different areas of the map, and it comes to find out that Morris's son Hugh is actually kind of possessed by Camilla, and he's kind of got this bad attitude. And at closer to the end of the game, he and Nathan fight. Nathan beats him, and he's kind of like, oh gosh, sorry, you know, I see that you're the true wielder of the whip, and blah blah blah. And so they go and they free Morris, and Nathan, of course, fights Dracula in his many, many forms, and and the end of the game, spoiler alert. But that's kind of the story. So, and basically every Castlevania game you play on Game Boy Advance or the DS kind of has that same setup, really. I mean, it's always a different character, different little bit of backstory, but usually someone's trying to bring Dracula back and all this kind of stuff happens. So, but
so the huge plot twist is not that Hugh's a jerk, it's that he was possessed. Because I was just thinking he was just a jerk the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. And the reason the game's called Circle of the Moon, like I didn't, it's funny that the game is called Circle of the Moon, but the reasoning isn't really that, it doesn't really feel that important in the game. So what they were doing to actually fully resurrect Dracula, Camilla was trying to use Morris's soul to sacrifice, and it had to be during the next full moon. So that's kind of why it's called Circle of the Moon. It was just a real, to me, that was a real tiny part in the game that didn't really seem real real relevant with the title.
And why was she using Morris? Was there something special about him?
I'm assuming it's because he was the last guy to you know, get rid of Dracula. Maybe there's some kind of spiritual connection there. I'm not sure. It might have explained it in the game, but I didn't catch that. But so yeah, that's
and what's Hugh's weapon?
He had a sword. Like,
you never see him use anything.
Yeah, so when you fight him, he's got a sword. He kind of has a lot of the same secondary weapons you pick up in the game, but he has a sword and some magic powers, and you know, he'll bring some of that lightning down from... He's actually not too hard to beat. You can usually kind of just spam him real quick with the whip and kind of run away real fast and keep doing it and dodging the attack. He's one of the easier bosses, in my opinion, but...
So I guess spoiler alert for me later on in the podcast, I didn't beat it.
Well, it's funny because I really, really tried to beat this game before we recorded, but I didn't get a chance to. But I've, in the past, I've probably beat this game 3 or 4 times. So I think we talked about that before. You're kind of more the Metroid guy. I'm more the Castlevania guy. So these Castlevania games are definitely some of my favorites ever. But yeah, it's definitely a good one to play. I wouldn't actually... No, we'll get into that later. I don't want to talk about that now.
Okay. Are we done with the story then?
Story's done.
Okay. Let's talk about the controls a little bit then.
Yeah.
I thought that they were pretty well spot on, responsive. I mean, I had almost no complaints about the controls. Of course, I will say, you know, I was not playing this on the Game Boy Advance. Either iteration. So I did not actually have this game. I played it as close as I could get it to a handheld on the PSP. So, yeah. And something we'll get into a little bit later when we talk maybe about some complaints or about some just straight up gameplay. In doing so, playing on the PSP, forced myself. I said, I do not want to use save states and stuff because I want to get as close to the original experience as possible. And I think that came back to bite me, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. What did you think about the controls?
I really liked them. I was always set off by the fact that you couldn't run right away. I thought that was kind of stupid. And I hated the way you had to run later on, double-clicking the directional pad.
That would have been one complaint for me too. Yeah, I didn't like the run system.
Yeah. But other than that, the platforming was just spot on. That's one of my favorite parts about these Castlevania games is just how precise the controls are. I never felt like I was being cheated of a platform or of attacking a boss. So it definitely had great controls. And the directional pads to me are really needed in this, especially when you're pushing up and attacking. If you had like a digital, sometimes when you have the analog sticks, you accidentally hit up sometimes and you kind of waste your secondary weapons. But I thought the controls were great. Everything was.
That's something else about Castlevania too that I've never really got into is the way you throw your secondary weapons.
Yeah.
It's never felt that intuitive to me. So that's something, but that's just something that's just always the way it is with Castlevania games. And it's just something that's always sat crooked in my control scheme mind.
Yeah. Well, it's really cool because the way you, like my favorite secondary weapon is the axe. So like the way the axe reacts in this game, it reminds me of playing the very first Castlevania game on NES. I mean, it has the same type of physics and things. So you can kind of get the same feel for that. But yeah, I'm a big fan of those secondary weapons. There's a few that I hate and I don't even want to get. It's kind of like avoiding some of the power-ups in Contra. It's like, yeah, you're just better off not touching that one. But
I always use the boomerang. That was my favorite. Yeah. Although it used up the hearts really fast.
Yeah, it's cool when you can remember what you need to go beat a certain boss. Like some of the bosses that like crawl on the ground, it's really cool to get the holy water that just kind of flames on the ground and stuff. So there's a lot of strategy involved with those if you can remember where they're at in the level. Because a lot of times before you go to the boss room, you'll actually find that secondary weapon that you might want to use for that, you know, on one of the flame candles that are on the wall, whatever you call those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and another part of the controls, I'm glad that you had this power up from the get go, was the slide attack, and that you know, when you, I think you press down and jump, it really helps for some of the weaker enemies later on in the game, especially when you leveled up. Like if you need a backtrack and you're going through like the very first part of the game, you just sit there and you hit down and the jump button, you just slide right through the whole level.
Yeah, I really wish the game would have let me know that I had that from the get-go though, because I was thinking, first of all, I thought I would have run from the get-go, and I didn't.
Yeah.
So then I thought, well, sure, I don't have any, surely I don't have anything else.
Yeah.
I don't have slide, so I didn't even try it. And I got to a couple spots where I thought, well, I got to go find this slide power up before I can get under here. Yeah. Lo and behold, I had it the whole time. So
that's a very, very valid complaint. The other Castlevania games that followed this really improved on a lot of things that I complained about. I have a lot of complaints about this game, even though I love it. So that's definitely one of them. I'd agree with you there. I think it's just because I played it so much, it didn't bother me on this playthrough.
Yeah. So. All right. What about the graphics?
Well, and before we go into graphics, real quick, the whip. I really like the way you can hold down the attack button and the whip spins around you. It comes in handy. That's one of those actions I wish I had in the first Castlevania when all the Medusa heads are coming at you.
That is really cool. I do like that.
Yeah, it helps you out in these games. But I just wanted to cover that real quick. I think it comes in handy with the bosses too that throw all the cheap junk at you, and you really can't dodge real well. You can just kind of hold that down, wait for them to go away. So. Yeah.
For some reason, I thought we had mentioned the whip controls. I think it was because I was thinking it the whole time while you were talking about something else. And then it never actually came up, but I had that conversation in my mind. So
yeah,
but yeah, I do like I like the whip as well.
Okay. And I prefer, like, I love the character Sima Cruz in the area games, but I always prefer having a whip. I don't know what it is. To me, that's Castlevania. And it's not saying I don't like Alucard and Symphony of the Night with all his different weapons, but I really enjoy having the whip. It's just classic Castlevania to me. But anyways, on to the next point. You don't want to talk about graphics?
I was trying, yeah.
Until I rudely interrupted.
No, I rudely tried to move us forward too quickly. Yeah. I thought the graphics were pretty awesome for the system that they were on. I think it helps because I had a backlit screen. I can remember playing it before when there wasn't a backlit screen. And the backgrounds are really detailed and they're really, really nice, but they're really dark.
Yeah.
And unless you have a bright screen, you can't really see all that detail in the backgrounds. I thought the characters were okay. They were kind of small,
yeah,
even for the Game Boy, you know.
Yeah,
I thought they were kind of small and not quite as detailed. Although the main character, what's his name, Nathan?
Yes,
he's pretty well detailed. I liked him quite a bit.
Yeah, and I love the fact that your gripes are addressed in the next games. They make the sprites bigger in the next game. The next game is much more bright, and they even have a little bit more attention to detail in the characters. So,
I haven't played hardly any of them.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So it's kind of a cool evolution. I would agree that these graphics were good for the time. When you hold this game up next to Area of Sorrow or the Harmony of Dissonance, it actually looks a bit dated, and that's kind of a good thing to see that evolution of graphics. But I like the graphics, and like you said, I always love the clock tower stages with the backgrounds, the spinning gears, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Those are usually my favorite part of the castle. So I thought they did a good job with that. You know, keeping the true form, even on the DS games with the better graphics, most of the characters just have like these blank faces. You don't really see any kind of a detail. And I talked about that in another podcast. I kind of like that style. So I do like the character.
Yeah, it definitely has a unique style to it.
Yeah,
and I think, like you mentioned, the clock tower. There's always a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things moving and there's rarely any down. And I don't know if it's because I was emulating it or whatnot, but there were quite a number of times whenever there would be a lot of people on screen or a lot of enemies, then it would slow down to almost a crawl for me. I can't really complain because I don't know if that was just because I was playing it on the emulation or if that's the real game. But it really does, for the most part, it holds up really well and allows for a lot of things to go on, especially like in the clock Cocktail Run. You got gears moving, and then you got bad guys all over the place.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some slowdown even in the original version when there's a ton of enemies on the screen. But it's one of those things I think us as retro gamers have fought with our whole lives. Like think about Mega Man. You almost use that to your advantage at times in Mega Man
Right.
games.
I mean,
It's like,
it is the name of the game. I mean, that's just what you're used to in this old style game.
It usually I don't notice it until someone brings it up. Like I as you said that, I thought back. I'm like, yeah, there's definitely some slowdown now that I'm remembering.
It never worked to my advantage in this game for some reason.
And of course you have the classic Castlevania knockback anytime you get hit.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that during the gameplay portion. Anyways, so what about the sound, music, that sort of thing? Are we done with graphics?
Yeah, sure. I'm done. Yeah, sound. Oh, I love the soundtrack on this game, and a lot of it might be nostalgia. I remember this was a time in my gaming life back in high school when I really started to appreciate sound and music because I remember really being into like the PlayStation, Nintendo 64. Not really. It was then I realized these aren't the same catchy tunes I remember from the Nintendo and Super Nintendo. So when I got my Game Boy Advance and these games are kind of modeled after your 16-bit type games. It was then I started like, okay, I really like the music. I prefer the old style retro gaming music, and man, I love the soundtrack. There's a few tunes in particular. I think the almost the beginning tune, the it kind of starts off like da 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 da, and then it just kind of kicks into like a real kind of upbeat song. A lot of the synth sounds and the and like the sound that's kind of emulating a bass guitar is real busy, real good too. So
See, I was thinking it was kind of like they were emulating a band where there's
yeah.
bass guitar and an organ. Maybe kind of like a, I don't know, maybe like the Doors, but in a Castlevania. If the Doors were to play Castlevania music
That's good.
on a Game Boy Advance, that's what this soundtrack was.
And Castlevania music always sets the tone for that kind of horror type setting, but not quite like real scary. You know what I mean? It sets the kind of creepy tone, especially when.
It's kind of like an epic Van Helsing type
And
score,
when you first power on the game, it's got this like creaking door noise and like this choir in the background, this kind of creepy choir singing with no music. It really sets the tone for the game, I thought. But yeah, I like everything about it. There's some cheesy sound effects in it. Some of the bosses you beat make this awful noise when they die, but it's
Yeah,
just,
they do.
as far as music goes, it's top notch. I remember this Castlevania game, and then Donna Sorrow on DS. It's kind of like my favorite Castlevania music games. The other ones have good music, but I just don't think they're as memorable. But yeah, this one's definitely my favorite, one of my favorite soundtracks, period.
Oh, wow.
It'd be in my top 10. If I had to rank top 10 game soundtracks, it'd be up there somewhere.
Yeah,
So.
I thought it was really, really good. I was a little bit surprised at how good it was once as I got more into it. But I will say, if I had any kind of a complaint about it, then that would be that it was exactly what I expected it to be, you know? I mean, I know I just got through saying I was a little bit surprised, but that's just because the songs actually didn't get old, and they I'm not explaining myself very well. Let me start from the beginning. Okay. Starting the game up, I was like, okay, this is exactly what I expected the music to be. It's kind of cliche, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then the more I listened to it, it never really got old, and it kind of even got catchy at some point. So I kind of grew on me. But I guess my only complaint would be that it was exactly what I expected, and it was kind of cliche for a Castlevania game, but that's not really a complaint because that's kind of what you want when you play a Castlevania game, right? It's Castlevania music. So that's a backhanded complaint from me, I guess. So it's not really a complaint, but.
No, I understand. And this one in particular, I didn't feel like any of the songs were out of place. I'm sure once we cover Symphony of the Night, I'll talk about this more. But there's a certain like 80s hair metal band song in that game. It's just completely out of place in my opinion, in the PlayStation game. So, but it kind of threw me off as far as that soundtrack goes. But for this one, definitely, I think every song to me sounds good. But that's my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. So you ready to hear several complaints from me? if we're going to ready to go into gameplay and hear me rant for a minute.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, let me compliment this game for being very challenging. And also let me say that maybe I'm just a complete idiot, but I hit basically a brick wall in this game that caused me to stop playing it and never want to pick it up again prior to recording this. So the past 2 weeks, I haven't been playing this game because I hit this brick wall and I didn't want to play anymore. And part of that is because the game is challenging, and I don't mind that. But the other part is because is that it doesn't really provide it doesn't provide any direction. But on top of not providing any direction, it allows you to go in the complete wrong direction at one point in the game. You know, I like games when they make you explore and don't tell you where to go, but I also like games to put a wall up so that I can't go into this really bad part. And that part being the like sewer area
Yeah.
with the poisonous water. That was my brick wall. And what happened was is I got to that point and I was just looking around trying to figure out where to go, you know, searching places and stuff. And I said, oh, well, this is open. Let me go in here. So I go in and it's really difficult. And I thought, well, maybe the difficulty just spikes. So I just keep going and I keep going and I keep going. And I get about, I don't even know how far in I got, probably halfway into the sewer, to the point where I didn't want to go back out. But I'd already saved my game inside there somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
And I can't get any further just because I can't. I always get into the poisonous water and it drains my health. And I'm trying to get to these other parts and I'm trying to beat these guys. And at one point, I said, you know what? I'm going to just start using save states so I can get through this. And then at that point, I also said, you know what? I'm just going to message Nick because this is weird. This is weird that this game spikes so much. And Nick goes, oh, didn't you get the purification something or another? And I said, the what? Yeah. So at that point, I just said, you know what? Forget it. I'm done. Because I was not about to make track my way back out to go find this purification thing. As hard as it was to get in, I probably couldn't even got back out. And then I really didn't feel like trying to force my way through without and dealing with that poisonous water and stuff. So that's my biggest complaint with this
Yeah.
game.
It's so funny because so many people have had that same experience you had. I luckily did not when I first played this game, and to me that is a huge design flaw in this game. I will agree completely with that because you actually beat two bosses and get two other powers or power ups before you're really even supposed to go in that area. There's one where you kill the zombie dragon and you get the power up to push the crates around, and then that allows you to go fight Death. I think it's Death. Allows you to go fight him to actually purify that water. So it's and the boss in that area is actually Camilla. So I mean that's kind of actually towards part of the end of the game. So to me that area should not have been unlockable at that time. It should have had just like some big wall that you couldn't get through. So
Yeah, or how about that block that you need to push, you know?
exactly.
That would
But
at least made me realize that I couldn't do that at that point. Maybe I would have tried to go back and push the block and still would have ran into the same situation because I didn't purify the water, but I don't know. It really bothered me that they had allowed you to do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
No,
that goes beyond challenging to me into just kind of stupid.
I'd agree. I mean, like I said, when I played this game, I didn't go there first, so I think it was just by luck that that wasn't an issue for me. But I read the same complaint you had from other forums and other people who played the game and had that issue because they thought that's what they were supposed to go because there was nothing stopping them other than getting hurt by water. So.
Yeah. So I mean that's partly my fault too, because I should have thought maybe to look, I don't know, I guess I should have thought that they could have designed the game to allow me to go somewhere I wasn't supposed to go yet, you know.
Yeah. No,
But
I
other
agree.
than that, that's my biggest complaint. I do have a few other little complaints here and there. One of them I'll save for when we talk about our question from last week. But the other thing is, I didn't like the fact that, and this may be because I played Symphony of the Night first, but I didn't like the fact that I got tons and tons of gear and then didn't have anything to do with all the leftover stuff.
Yeah, I that's actually one of my complaints. There's no shop. It seems like every other Castlevania game that follows this formula has a shop where you can collect stuff, you can sell it, and for me, any type of action RPG game I play, even the ones that aren't considered Metroidvanias. I collect loot, I sell it, I stock up on a ton of potions. That's just how I play games. Any RPG game I play, I'm balls to the wall. I guess I probably shouldn't say that on the family friendly podcast, but I'm always an all strength kind of guy, and I just go right in for the kill and use a ton of potions. But this game, the only way to get potions is to kill enemies, and there's no way to buy more, no way to sell all the crap you got. How in the world is he carrying all this? Is my question. But yeah, I have that down as one of my big gripes, because in all the other games, you have a area where, kind of like a starting point in a Castlevania game, where there's a save point, there's a teleport point, and there's usually like one of your buddies hanging back that sells you junk. So, and this one did not have that. So yeah, I agree. Your complaints are right there with mine.
I mean, I would have loved to have had the ability to sell that old stuff and buy potions, because I think I may have actually just trudged my way through the sewer had I had some potions to do it with.
Yeah.
But also I wanted to say that I'm envisioning a 6 or 7 year old kid having listened to our podcast going, "Mommy, mommy, I'm balls to the wall." Sorry. And it's all your fault. And now my fault.
Well, it's
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. It's something I'd probably say in front of my kids, but I wouldn't want them repeating it. So I probably should, maybe I'll go back and edit that, maybe not. I don't consider it cursing, but
I don't either. I think it's fine.
Not something
I really, you know, we always talk about how kids listen to the show. I don't really think a whole lot of kids listen to these shows.
I think
we'd probably be really boring to children.
It's more of me listening to them in front of my kids. So and of course, gotcha. They don't listen the whole time until one word's said, and then that's the word they say. Happens to me every time I watch The Office in front of my kids. So
it's funny.
Yep.
If you listen to the latest episode of Two Dudes, you'll hear Justin talk about a story about that with his daughter.
Yep.
Hearing words. It's pretty funny.
I understand.
So. That's really the only complaints I have about this game until we get to the question. Other than that, I thought it was great. I mean, I really enjoyed every minute of it until I got to the sewer.
Yeah, I actually have probably more complaints than that, and we'll get into that later. But, you know, as far as getting through the map goes, I thought it was pretty cool that you could kind of see the secret areas, or they're so-called, to where you can actually upgrade your health and stuff. If you look at the map and there's, like, a section where there's maybe two hallways and you see, like, a little square in the middle of it, you can usually go hit the wall at that area, and that's and the wall will break away, and it's a secret area. I kind of was able to predict where all the secret areas were just by looking at the map, so that was kind of nice.
I think all the enemies on the screen looked at me like I was an idiot. Looked at my Nathan like he was some kind of psycho, because I was constantly jumping and hitting the walls everywhere, just in case, you know.
Yeah, because in order to beat this game, you almost have to go through and find all the HP upgrades. First of all, you can't get enough potions to help yourself, and really, when you level up that high, like I had 10 potions at one time and I used every one of those, and it hardly even brought me up maybe 25% health in the middle of a boss fight. So, I mean, really,
so you don't ever get any super potions or anything. It's just always the basic potion.
Well, you get high potions, and I even had like a hybrid of the regular and the high potions, and it really didn't do me any good. You pretty much just have to learn the boss's pattern and do really well at it. So, and there's a few bosses that were almost ridiculously hard. I don't know if you want to go over that now, but like the zombie.
Sure, I don't care.
Yeah, the zombie dragon was one of the hardest ones, because it's a two-headed zombie dragon, and it something I had to kind of figure out on my own. It pays to kill the zombie head on the left, because the zombie head on the left shoots fire, and the zombie head on the right kind of just shoots a beam. So it's easier to dodge the beam than the fire. So you're kind of just spamming the one on the left. And one of the weirdest things happened, once you kill the zombie on the left, the dragon on the left, you know, its head falls down, and you still got to defeat the one on the right, but the one on the right just automatically starts eating the other zombie head. It's really weird. And I looked it up, it only happens once. So, but while it's eating it, you can just start, like, just going to town on it. But it makes it a lot easier to beat. But I knew how to beat that, and I remembered how to do it when I was playing this again last week, and it still took me about 7 or 8 times dying to remember some of the patterns and to actually beat it again. So that The difficulty in this game was a little high, in my opinion. I think they toned it down on later releases, but yeah, it took a long time to do that. And I know fighting Dracula at the end was just ridiculously hard, especially on the second phase. His first phase isn't hard because you're just fighting like a normal guy. It's just kind of teleporting and shooting projectiles at you. They're kind of predictable. His second phase, he looks like he turns into a like Power Rangers monster. Like I felt like I needed to go Morphin Time and get my Zords out because it looked like directly out of that. He had a big eyeball on his stomach that you had to hit, and once you defeat that part of it, he comes and starts rushing at you, which they call it the second phase, and you actually need to do your super jump you probably didn't see that power. There's an extra jump that just pretty much shoots you all the way up to the top of the screen. You had to do that just to get out of the way, and it was really hard. I remember the first time I beat that, it took me days to beat it, and I think I started that game when I was in high school, and I don't think I finished it until my freshman year in college. I remember very specifically playing that on the campus, like sitting against a tree, like outside waiting to go to a class. So, it took me a while to actually beat Dracula, and that was before I really got into looking up strategies on the internet. I was always trying to figure things out on my own. So yeah, the difficulty in this game was a little rough. I had trouble with it now, even after beating it 3 or 4 times in my lifetime. So definitely not the easiest game in the world, but there's strategies to win. I'd say some of the purists out there probably are laughing at me because they probably think it's easy. But as these Castlevania games went on, I found them a little easier. I'm not saying they held your hand more, but like the issue with the section with the poison water, that kind of stuff doesn't happen later on in other releases. So they made it a little easier as far as that goes, but
Yeah, I don't mind the. I don't. Of course, I didn't make it as far as you, so maybe the difficulty didn't ramp up as much. But I didn't mind the difficulty, other than the sewer thing, which was probably an unwarranted difficulty.
yeah. Well, and there's a section, it's not even a boss, it's called the Eternal Corridor, I believe, and it's properly named because it's just this long hallway with real tough enemies that if you didn't level up, if you didn't go out and kind of level grind beforehand, you're not going to make it through it very easily, especially with the junky potions you have. So,
Yeah, I don't know about having to grind in a Metroidvania like that.
yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't either. I definitely enjoy the combat and just kind of going around. Like this is one of those games I can just turn on and just kind of lose my mind and not really do much, just go around killing stuff. But yeah, there were times when I'd fight a boss and I kept thinking to myself, I'm just not, like, I'm hitting it a million times and I'm not getting anywhere with it. So, which is another small complaint. I kind of wish these games had more of a like an energy bar for the bosses, so you kind of get an idea where you're at.
Yeah, some feedback or something. I ran into that whenever I was fighting the, I don't know, what is it, the giant sheep or whatever, the ram or something like that. I just kept hitting him over and over again, and he wasn't hard because I could dodge his attacks fairly easily. It was just, I was just wondering when it was going to be over, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And the patterns on that one aren't too hard, but yeah, I'm right there with you. Cuz if you're not if there was an energy bar and your attacks weren't doing much, you could at least go out and level grind some more so your attack would go up, or find some items that would help you out. I don't know. But that was a little bit of a gripe I had with these games. And at least they could have did the old Konami thing or the old beat 'em ups where they start flashing red or something. Like, remember the old Ninja Turtles game on Super Nintendo and Genesis? The bosses would start flashing red, flashing faster.
That would have been perfect for me if they would have done that. Well, I don't have a whole lot more to say about the gameplay, but if you want to keep on going, I can play second fiddle if you got a lot more.
No, I think most conversations kind of about our question, and I was going to
Okay.
say save most of that for that. So. So yeah, the question, I don't have it in front of me, but I remember it very, very, like it was very d near and dear to my heart. Your magic system, what they call DSS, is with you pick up cards and you have to kind of combine the cards you pick up to get different attacks. It was kind of controversial because, like we said, one of the original creators, Koji Igarashi or something. That was as bad as Justin, wasn't
That's pretty good. I like it.
it? He said he actually was against it because he said it didn't follow the theme of Castlevania. Now I don't personally agree with that. And the question to us, to the listeners, was, you know, what do you think of that? Did you think it fell within the theme, or did you even like it? Do we want to read the listeners' responses first, or just jump into what we think?
Sure. Do you have any of them pulled up?
Yeah,
I have some
yeah.
pulled up if you don't.
Actually, we had we had four total, I believe, between the Facebook page and the group. I've captured them here. Gabe Van Gilder. Is that how you say his last name?
Yep.
Okay.
I think he said that we have said it correctly before on
okay.
two dudes. I think it's Gabe Van Gilder.
Okay. He says, I enjoyed it. It was different, but to be in every Castlevania game, absolutely not. I would agree with that.
Fair enough.
We'll get into that later. Sean Moldani. Did I say that right? Man.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah. He's been
I do want to say that I like Sean. He's done something awesome.
Yeah.
On the 2Ds group.
Yeah. High score stuff. Yeah. He's been very active in that. He said, super late getting into this. I'm glad you included a picture because I was trying to remember them exactly, and that did the trick. He says he loved the cards. To be completely honest, I went from Nintendo Castlevania, hey dudes, to this one. I missed the SNES PS64 ones completely. I can't make any claims that the cards really didn't fit because I had no reason to do so. In fact, I love the card system. It kept me hooked on this game way longer than it should have, to the point where I had several playthroughs before I finished. And while I only remember a few of the combinations clearly, as I haven't played it since it came out, I do remember the cards being a reason why I invested so much time into the game. Very novel idea, and one of my favorite Castlevanias to look back on. I like it. Very, very, very descriptive. That was very good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And I know I'm getting this pronunciation right because he's corrected me on Genesis Gems. Joe Koppel. he says it's I don't think it makes a difference with or without it. The main game is great, and this is more or less adds a little depth. And then Aaron Hickman says, I preferred the accessory system in Symphony of the Night myself. Circle of the Moon wasn't bad, though. Cards were hit or miss. I kind of take the view of Aaron there. It's not that it was a bad system. I felt like the rate of getting the cards was very low. And what I found,
yeah, that was gonna be my biggest issue.
And,
go ahead.
And kind of to your point of really not giving you any kind of a heads up or a guide, I found out later that if you were to say equip a ring or one of those charms or whatever in the world they're called that had extra luck,
mm-hmm.
you find more. Which is weird because to me, luck in RPG always meant you hit more critical hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So I never put that together, and I read that and I tried it and it works. You find so many more cards that way. Cause one of the very first times I played this game, I got up to like 70% done and I hardly had any cards. I couldn't figure it out. So it kind of made me mad. I honestly, in my opinion, I'm kind of glad they did away with the system. Believe it or not, it's innovative, I guess, but I mean, come on, there's gotta be a better way to find those power-ups.
Yeah, I really liked having the magic, though. I thought having the magic was really cool.
Yeah, know? Yeah, and I know you probably haven't dove into some of the other games, but I think the other games did it better with magic, but we can
get into that later. No, I haven't. I was hoping they would still have the magic because I really liked it, and I liked the combining the cards. But I played this game for probably 5 hours to get to where I did, and I found three cards the whole time. And
yeah.
So that left me with, what, two powers?
Yeah.
So one of them was Fiery Whip, and then the other one was some kind of defensive something. And so I used the Fiery Whip all the time, but I don't know. I just really would have liked to have had more. Like, if I could have had a bunch of different elements of whips, and that would have been cool, but I couldn't find any cards, you know? And I didn't know what you were talking about the luck thing either.
Yeah,
so
that came from a game FAQ. I mean, that wasn't something I figured out on my own.
The card system to me was just more frustrating than anything.
Me too. I agree with you. But, you know, some of the combinations of the cards were almost, to me, they were almost necessary when you got to certain bosses. Like, there's a few combinations where you can kind of summon flames or some kind of, some kind of orb that just spins around you. So when you're trying to fight a boss and he's shooting all these annoying junk around you, it just kind of automatically takes care of it. And then with Dracula, it's almost, to me, I mean, maybe it's just because I'm not very good at this game, there's a certain attack he does where it just throws all this stuff all over you, and you can summon this some kind of bird or something that kind of just freezes the screen and just kind of destroys everything in it. And to me, that was the only way to get around the attack. So I don't know. I'm sure there's a better way to beat this final form of Dracula. But my favorite combination, is just because it's hilarious, is getting the Uranus and the Cockatrice card. I think I'm saying that right. And basically, it just summons this giant rooster that comes across the screen. That's kind of hilarious. So,
it doesn't do anything.
It attacks the enemies, but it's just hilarious looking. It doesn't quite fit the theme of the game, in my opinion. But
that's funny.
Yeah,
but I didn't get that. So it would have been nice to have gotten that, but I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't have your lucky ring.
Well, huh. that just frustrates me even more, knowing that that there is a ring like that that could have helped me get more, because I really wanted more. That was something I really wanted, and I actually spent a little bit of time like looking around, see if there was places where I could get them.
Yeah.
But I guess they come from enemies, and they don't come from enemies unless you have good luck.
Yeah, and I think when I looked it up, that comes from enemies who are usually a little bit more on the hit point side. Like, so mm-hmm. You're definitely not going to get them from like the zombies that pop up out of the ground. It's usually some like,
gotcha.
Maybe the knights or some things like that. So.
Yeah, okay, I got you. Yeah. Well, good question of the show. That's a hit.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
We'll come up with another one once we figure out what the next game is that we'll have to do on air as usual, because it'll be, we'll have to ask the question. So we'll figure that out here in just a minute. But how would we rate this game?
This is really hard for me, because think back of Super Metroid, right? I gave it an A-, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, because I don't want to give this game that high of a score, but in the long, just kind of in my mind, I kind of enjoy this game more than Super Metroid, which is weird.
Yeah.
The only reason I don't want to give it such a high score is because if I had to rank this game next to all the other Castlevania, Metroidvania-style games, it kind of comes in last to me. So I'm kind of torn here. I'm going to give it a B+. That's where I'm ranking it.
Okay.
And that kind of hurts a little bit, because I don't want to rank it above Super Metroid just for the fact that Super Metroid, Super Metroid. I know that doesn't make any sense.
Rank it how you feel, man, because don't worry, I'll drag it down with my ranking.
Well, let's stick with a B+, just because.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with a C. Ooh. And I know that seems really low. But I would have given it probably a B+ or an A-, even. And I, you know how big of a fan I am of Super Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave that, I can't remember if I gave that an A+ or an A. I think I gave it an A+, but
yeah.
But anyways, if it wasn't for that one part that just stopped me dead in my tracks, then I would have given this so much of a higher score. But I feel like that's such a design flaw that I almost just want to flunk this game. Because it just wore me out. I mean, I shouldn't have to feel like that when I play a game, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
So I'm teetering on the C+, but I think I'm gonna go with a C, because I also had a few other complaints with like the card system being frustrating and that sort of thing. So I think I'm gonna have to go with it's a solid C though. I mean, that'll get you a degree. C equals degree, right?
Yeah, it does. And it actually equals my company paying me back my money for my classes, as long as I get a C or above. So.
See, my company only gives me 50% for a C. You got to get an A to get 100% back.
Oh, no. Yeah, the only thing my company doesn't do is pay for books, so that stinks. Anyways, I'm not doing that anymore. No more college for me for a while.
Yeah, as soon as I get done, I'm not doing it anymore, ever.
I've got too many degrees I don't do anything with. So.
Yeah. All right. So that's, I don't know what that averages out to be. B+ plus a C, is that what it was?
Yeah.
It's so, probably like a C+. B- minus, C+.
C+ sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's funny, because I think the Metroidvania gods were watching over me, because if what happened to you would have happened to me, I might have just never played a Metroidvania game again at that time. I think I just got lucky and just was on the right path. So
Yeah. Well, that's good. So I guess if we're going to rank it compared to the previous played games, then it's technically going to be in last place as of now.
Yep.
But look at what it's up against, right?
Yeah.
It's up against Super Metroid and Guacamelee, which Guacamelee is number one, which still kind of blows my mind, but it's an amazing game, so I don't have any problems with it being number one right now.
Yeah. I like it better than the games we've done. It's definitely my favorite one we played.
It's probably my favorite one as well, if I throw out nostalgia. So
yeah, true.
So all right, so that's as of right now, we rank Circle of the Moon third, Super Metroid second, and Guacamelee first. You know, we also kind of want to let people know how they can get this game. You can actually buy it used for about, what, about 15 bucks ish, would
Yeah,
you say? Something
15,
like that.
15, 20 bucks. Yeah.
Yeah, 15, 20 bucks if you want to buy it used and play it on the Game Boy Advance. But you can also get it on the Virtual Console on the Wii U. I thought about getting it there, and I might still get it there just to have it, but.
Yeah. And something I forgot to mention, that like to me the best way to play this game, if you're not doing it on the Wii U, is to either find one of the old Game Boy players on the GameCube, or to find like a Retron 5 to pop it in. I remember playing it a lot that way. Really cool.
Oh, that's cool. I do have a
Yeah.
Retron 5, so maybe I
Yeah.
will. It may be cheaper. I don't know how much it is on the Wii U, but it may be cheaper just to pop in the actual card if I can find it pretty
Yeah.
cheap somewhere.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
So we need to figure out what the next game is, and so that we can ask a question for next week.
You gonna announce that now?
I think we can announce the next game at least. We have what I told people is. We got the voting list, so people can vote. Well, instead of picking the number one game, because I want us to still have a little bit of control over this, I'm going to let us pick out of the top five. And I think you and I might agree on the game. I have a feeling that we might. So let me just tell you what the top five are. As of right now, Legacy of the Wizard is number one. And then Castlevania Portrait of Ruin. Then Castlevania Order of Ecclesia. People really want us to play more Castlevania for some reason. And then it is Dust, an Elysian Tale, followed by looks like Toomba,
Toomba,
which is a, which was a PlayStation game.
yeah, one of the very first games used a DualShock controller.
My vote is for Dust, simply because we've already played Castlevania's. I don't remember being a huge fan of Legacy of the Wizard, and I'm not in the mood to play a bad game right now. So my vote's for Dust, but.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. You read my mind. You
I
read my
thought
mind.
we'd be on the same page. So the game is Dust.
Oh yeah, I heard about this game years ago, and it was actually created by one guy. So I was always intrigued by it, and I never got the chance to play it. So, yeah, that's gonna be
Yeah,
awesome.
I haven't had a chance to play it yet either. And I was intrigued by the also as by the fact that it was made by just one guy.
Yeah.
So my qu our question for the next show, we may have to think on it because I can't think of one off the top of my head for Dust, and it may take up precious podcasting time.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to download the game and play it first. A little
Yeah,
bit
so
of it.
we'll come up with a question and announce it on the pages, Facebook pages and whatnot. But the next game will be Dust.
Yeah.
I think that's a good choice.
So what can we play Dust on? I know it's on, is it on PS3 and Xbox?
It is on, yes, it's on PS3, PS4, Xbox,
Probably
Steam.
Steam. Okay.
Actually, it may not be on it may not actually be on PS3.
That's what I was hoping to play it on.
Yeah.
Might have to hook up my Xbox again. It's in the box right now.
It says 360, Steam and PS4 is what it says on Wikipedia.
Okay. Well, I'll go look for it.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Had you known that before we settled, you may have changed your mind.
Yeah. No, I'm teasing. I have space for my Xbox. I just haven't hooked it up yet. I made space for it and just haven't done anything with
Okay.
it. So.
All right, so shout outs. We got any? You want to shout out the Retro Junkies? I know you kind of mentioned the website already, but or is there any podcast? I know Aaron and Retro Skura, they've been promoting us quite a bit, so we better give them a shout out.
Yeah. So yeah, go check out Retro Obscura, great podcast. They covered a whole episode of Metroidvanias and actually t recommended some games I had never really thought were Metroidvania games that I actually enjoyed. There's a old Tails game for Game Gear, Tails as in, Sonic and Tails. It started around Tails, which was kind of odd, but a very good game. It's not quite the same exact Metroidvania formula you would think of, but it was good. Anyways, Paul actually recommended that. So go check that out, especially if you enjoy Metroidvanias. Go listen to that episode. Just Google them, Retro Obscura. Their basis of their show is really they cover games that weren't real popular that, they want to give a second look at. So a lot of good talk there. I know if you're a Genesis fan, or any kind of Sega fan, Paul is really into the Saturn. A lot of cool games he brings up for that, and of course Aaron's just a wealth of knowledge. He can,
He's like Wikipedia. He's a walking encyclopedia
yeah.
of retro knowledge.
anytime I go retro game hunting and buy something I've never heard of, I just say, "Hey, Aaron, never heard of this?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's an awesome game. The developer made this and also did this." And I mean, I'm just like, "Wow, that's awesome." And it's like, and you know, he's not looking it up as he's typing it. He knows it. So it's really cool. So yeah, go check them out. And he's real humble about it. That's one of the reasons I really like those guys, because they know their stuff, but they don't make you feel bad about it for not knowing your stuff. So go check those guys out.
Yep, sounds good. I guess I could tell people where to find us again.
Yeah.
Social media, Facebook. We have a group and a page. I don't know why we have both, but I think that's just what people do nowadays. The group is more effective, I feel like. So if you want to come join us in the group, I think that would be excellent. It's facebook.com/group/Metroidvania Mayhem. More than likely, that's what it is. We're also on Twitter, at Metroidvania Pod.
Okay.
And I did double check. We are on Google Plus. It's pretty much just a mirror of what's happening on Facebook, but we are on Google Plus. And then, of course, you can listen to us on your favorite device or whatnot. If you go find us on iTunes or Stitcher or Spreaker, if you want to find me on Spreaker, then I am on Spreaker and it has my shows listed. And this happens to be one of my shows, so I'm on there.
Nice.
And you can listen to us there. I would like to ask for more reviews. I don't know if we have a copy of Dust to give away. I can double check if Nick wants to plead for reviews for just a quick second.
Yeah, so please give us some iTunes reviews. We're happy with what we got so far, but the more reviews you give us, just the better this podcast goes for just reaching out to people. So we bring this to you for free. I say this in all the podcasts. We're actually putting our time, our effort into it to bring you some free entertainment. So all we ask is that if you like the show, if you want to help us out at all, is just give us some feedback on iTunes. It's really easy. If you have an iTunes account, just go out there, click 5 stars, and say you guys are awesome. Can't wait to hear the next episode. And that's
click 5 stars.
5 stars.
Rob
Luther. I'm going to say his last name.
It doesn't look like I have a copy of Dust right now.
Okay.
If I come across one, we may still give one out on the next show. So you never know when we're going to give something out. So, I mean, I may come across a copy of Dust. I may ask around, see if anybody's got one laying around, a Steam code. And, hey, you laugh, but I think I did that one time and Aaron said, "Yeah, I've actually got one laying right here."
That's awesome.
So, all right. That's all I've got.
Yeah, man, I'm done. This has been fun. All right.
It's good.
Yeah, good. I love it. I love ending podcasts. Everyone I'm in, I say I just do an awful job at it. So sometimes you just got to say, "You guys have a great day, and we'll catch you later."